We have many things upon our minds this morning, and we pray that the Lord will bless us and bless you to be able to receive blessings this morning from what we trust the Lord has put upon our hearts. In Brother Mark's prayer, he mentioned the gift of God. And what a great blessing it is. Everything that we have, even the breath we breathe, comes from Him. And I thought of the little verse in the first chapter of James. It says, every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So it says every good gift and every perfect gift. I believe that every one of us this morning could think of some good gifts that God has given us, can't we? Many times we take for granted the things that God has given us. This is a season of thanksgiving that we are entering into. This next Thursday is a time when the nation has set aside a day of thanksgiving, which was declared many years ago, celebrating the birth of our nation and the blessings that God has given us in our daily lives. So when we go to our, when we have our family get together, and you know, a lot of times we can't hardly get past the food and the football games. I mean, it's a wonderful time of fellowship and family together. And we will have standing room only, understanding, at my house. We have my son's family and all those in the extended family. I love those get-togethers. But we need to be able to recognize that this is the reason that we're together is to give thanks to God for all that we have. And there's never been a time in the history of this country that we do not, that we need to be more prayerful, not only for each other, not only for our churches, not only for our individual lives and for those that are sick, but for our nation. We're a very divided country as we stand today. But this morning I want to, if the Lord will bless me, to speak to you about some of these gifts that God has given to us. First of all, what is a gift? Paul in Romans chapter 5, I think it is, verse 12, it says, the wages of sin is death. That's true. And we know, sometimes we forget that the reason that we die, the reason that there's so many people we could look in the newspaper and just read the obituaries and find the very essence of that fact, that the wages of sin is death. But don't we just love the counter distinctions of these? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift is something that is given freely by someone that first of all, gifts are given out of love. We give our children gifts. Sometimes we think that they need things and they want those things, and because we love them, we give them perhaps more than they need. But gifts are from God. They are gifts are not that which you have to work to receive. A gift is given by God. Especially eternal life. He says, it is the gift of God. That's what he says in Ephesians chapter 2. By grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so when we think about gifts, we must understand that gifts are given by those who have, first of all, that have the ability to give them, but they are received in love. But we don't work for gifts. We work for rewards, but eternal life is not a, it's not a reward. It's not a wage. He says, the wages of sin is death. That's what we pay for, that's what we get for sin. But we get eternal life because God loved us. You know, the greatest of all gifts, he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And that he loved you and me and all of his people. He so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus is the gift of God to his people. Right? So this morning, I want to speak a little while on some of the gifts. Pardon my having to drink so much water. I took an antihistamine this morning. The allergies are just terrible nowadays, and I have to take, say, either I take those or I sit here and wipe and sneeze. But anyway, I want to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we have numerous gifts that's listed here in these. And I don't have time this morning to go through the entire list or the entire chapter. So we're just going to kind of try to hit some of the highlights of these. First of all, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Concerning spiritual gifts. Now, the key word there is spiritual, isn't it? It's a spiritual gift. That means it's a gift of the Spirit. It's given by the Spirit. He says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know, the Apostle Paul uses that word a lot, that word ignorant. He said in other places, one place in 1 Thessalonians, he said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. The word ignorant, we don't need to take offense to that word. It simply means, I would not to have you to be unlearned. I would not have you to be without knowledge of these things. So when we talk about the spiritual gifts, he said, I would not to have you to be unlearned about these. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now, he's speaking there of a dumb idol, meaning that the Gentiles, as we know from looking at Acts chapter 17, where the Apostle Paul went out there and he observed all of their worship services, he said, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious, because as I was observing All of your gods, they're dumb idols. And they were worshiping those idols. And there is a lot of superstition that was brought from the conversion of these Gentiles. They brought a lot of those preconceived superstitions into the church. We just read first Sunday about how that they were abusing and not discerning the Lord's body in the communion service. So when we look at that from this standpoint, here is another gentle admonition and rebuke for them for the things that they're taking the gifts. There is a sense in which they are worshiping the gift more than they are the giver. The gifts come from, and we read the text, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There is no changing of God. He changes not. Therefore, when we look at these things, we must recognize that there are many things, and I want us to think about all the blessings. Sometimes in our family get-togethers on Thanksgiving, we have a family circle. You remember the song they used to sing, Will the circle be unbroken? Well, we have a family circle, and we hold hands around that circle, and we go around the circle, and we say, okay, what do you have to be thankful for today? And we go around that circle, and we thank God for gifts, don't we? We thank God for the things that we have, our children, our family, our loved ones, all around us, to thank God for, first of all, for our good health. You know, it's we've had a lot of folks in our hospitals lately. Sometimes those are wake-up calls, if you please, to let you know that health, our good health, is a gift from God. It's not something that we need to be take for granted. So when we look at these things, he said, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man," I want you to think about what this says, "I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." Now I want you to let that sink in. The word accursed there is a Greek word which means anathema. Anathema. You look over there, it means curse. So he said, there is no person that, if you're speaking by the Spirit of God, there is something inside of you which is called the Holy Spirit and the gift of God. If you was to call Jesus a curse, you wouldn't be doing that by God's Spirit. That which is inside of you cannot deny the truth in your heart. And so, and he goes on, he says, "And no man can say." Now, this is what I want you to think about this morning. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? I believe every one of us would say, yes, I do. I certainly do. Whether you have confessed him with your mouth or not, you know something inside of you keeps drawing you to him. And when you do things that you know are contrary to his will, there is a sadness in your heart. That's the Spirit of God. And sometimes the flesh and the spirit, as Brother Mark said that in his prayer, that our outward man is perishing. And we don't have to, that's a fact that is simply here among us. We look at all the feebleness of our hearts and our flesh. We know that we're all going downhill. You know, the scripture says, all the days of our life are 70. That's 70, by the way. He said, and if by reason of health, it's 80. That's 80. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but I bet you there is a lot of folks here that's 80. The point I'm making is this. Every one of us, if Jesus does not come back before then, every one of us are going to end up dying. So when we go to our time of thanksgiving, let us thank God for life. Let us thank God for eternal life. That's the greatest of all gifts, isn't it? It is something that is given to us sovereignly by a sovereign God. Now notice he says, no man can say that Jesus is Lord. Do you say Jesus is Lord? I'm almost sure you will. Well, if you really say that and you really believe it from the depths of your heart, then you're not saying it by the spirit of man or the spirit of the flesh. You're saying that no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. And there's something inside of you that draws you to him. These are gifts. You know, gifts that God gives us for the benefit of our lives. Now notice, and I'm going to read a little bit here and we're going to try to comment on some of it. Now notice it says, now there are diversities of gifts. There's different kinds of gifts. There's different gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There's all these gifts that are given, but it's the same Spirit that gives all these gifts. There are differences of administrations. That means there are different ones that do the service. We're not all the same. There's different administrations, but the same Lord. It's the same one that gives each one of you your individual gifts. There are diversity of operations. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, if you go down through those, and I have taken the liberty this morning to enumerate these for you, but there, if I counted correctly, there is 9 different things, 9 gifts in this chapter that are given. First of all, there is the word of wisdom. And I don't have time to enumerate on all of these, but wisdom, you know, if you go back over and you read in the book of Proverbs, you'll find that Solomon said, is the principal thing. With all of your getting, he said, get wisdom. Well, what's wisdom? It's the right application of the next thing, knowledge. The word of knowledge, faith. We could preach an hour or two just on that one word, faith. What is faith? Well, Hebrews says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Huh? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. And he says in that same chapter, without faith. You say, well, how do we get faith? Where's faith coming? You know, if faith is so important, we need to go get some faith. You can't, we can't go over to the store and buy faith. You can't work for faith. You can't do anything to get faith. Faith is a gift of God. That's what we just read in that Ephesians chapter 2. By grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God. You can say, well, which one is a gift? They're all. The salvation is certainly a gift. And if you have faith this morning to believe that Jesus is your Lord, as this scripture said, then you have been born of God. You say, well, Brother Allen, that's pretty strong. No, it's not. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, what? Is born of God. Born of God. Born from above. So, brethren, he says, so one of these gifts that is given is faith. The other one is the gifts of healing. And then he says the gift of miracles, the working of miracles. And then there's prophecy and discerning of the spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. All of these things are given. They are given. Who are they given to? They are given to the church. To the church. That's who they're given to. And when you think about there are some of these that I consider to be sign gifts. Signs, what was a sign? Well, the Jews required a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But he said, there shall no other sign be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of earth 3 days and 3 nights. He said, that's the sign that you need to be looking for. The greatest of all signs. And there was all kinds of miracles. Jesus did miracles. What was the purpose of the miracles? I mean, Jesus turned water to wine. What was the purpose of that? There's a lot of implications there, but what he really wanted to show was that he was the one that was giving of the gift. And his mother said, he said, we have no wine. We don't have any wine. We run out of wine. He said, what's that to me? But Mary went to them. And he says, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. And we know that the manifestation, the one that really, really knew, the one that really, really knew that Jesus had did a great miracle was those that filled that pot, those pots up with water. You know, we put water in there and it's wine. But I want you to see the reason for all of those. All of the gifts Jesus, he gave sight to the blind and all of these different things. All of these gifts were gifts given to us today that we may look at those things and say, yes, indeed, that was the Son of God. He gave all of these miracles. But as we go through the New Testament and we get down to the time of the end of the book of Acts, we find that some of these gifts are no longer being used. Now, I want to point out very carefully that if you have one of these gifts, it didn't come to you of your own self. There is people that tell you, well, you need to get the gift. Well, how can I come to you and ask for a gift when a gift is from God? So if you have these gifts, you need to just simply recognize the fact that they come from the Lord. Okay? Now, I can get into on that, but I'm running very short of time. Now notice he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Notice, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man withal. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, if we look down through this chapter, we find that there is an analogy here given. He uses the analogy of our human body. The body needs nourishment. There is a whole bunch of different parts of our body. Now notice, look at verse 14. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body. You see, we want to compare ourselves with others. And we say, well, I am more important than you. I have a better gift than you do. And we boast about those things. But you understand that this is a gift that is given to the church for the benefit of the church. These gifts are not given for you to glory in. They're given to the church, to those who will use them properly for the glory of our Lord. Now notice he goes on, he said, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Can you say, and then he says, is it not therefore of the body? Is the foot important? Well, sometimes it gets tired. Sometimes it gets splinters in it. And sometimes it hurts. And sometimes it even smells. But it's still part of the body. Now, he goes on and he says, if the ear shall say, because I'm not the ear... Well, we have ears. You know, the scripture says, let every man that hath an ear, let every man hear that hath an ear. You see, there's more than natural sound that's coming out. I mean, you can hear my audible voice. But if you can hear the message that comes from God, see, this is the gospel itself is a gift of God to you as God's people. It is given that we may be edified and built up and nourished. You see, we feed our bodies real well. We're gonna have a big feast on Thanksgiving, and we'll all overeat. But did you ever try to overeat? Did you ever get too full of the Spirit? You see, the gospel is the food that is given to the soul, not to the body. We can't feed the body. Now, there is benefits that come to the body by feeding the soul on the Word of God. This is the bread of life. This is God's Word that is given to us to feed the inner man. The inner man needs to be fed too. And sometimes we neglect it for the pleasure of the outer man. He said, if the whole, now notice he said, I am, if can the ear say, well, you're not an ear, therefore you're not part of my body. If the whole body was an eye, okay, we're just one big eye. And all we are is just an eye. Well, if we're all eyes, where's the ear? If we're all eyes, where's the foot? You see, each one of you, and God put, I want you to understand that God is the gift, the church is given as his gift to us. And he puts these gifts in it for the purpose of us. That we
may minister to one another. Now, he says, but now, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, then where's the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, then where's the smelling?
You know, my smelling is not as good as it, and my hearing, of course, is not as good as it used to be either. I have a little hearing aids. But you know, I love to smell the cooking that my wife does. Sometimes the smell, sometimes the nose. Sometimes things come into the nose that's really not very I mean, it doesn't really appetize you. But it's still your nose. You still need it, right? And the nose, I mean, the nose is important. That I mean, my goodness, what if I couldn't smell anything? You see, it's still a gift. If the whole body were the eye, then where is the hearing? I've already read that. But now hath God, now this is the part I want you to see. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. The body. And he tells you in the previous verses that this body, there is only one body. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. It's all gifts of the church. If we were all one member, where's the body? But now are they many members, yet we are one body. You see, when we get to the point, when we come to a great blessing to the church, it's when we can all find our places, we can all recognize our gifts, and we can all thank God for, I thank God for Brother Tom's gift and this Brother Tom, and I thank God for all of you. You say, well, I don't have a gift. Yes, you do. You may only be a little finger in your mind. But is this finger important? Would you like to just cut it off? You know, if you get a splinter or you cut your little pinky, the whole body hurts. And the only thing that you can think about is trying to make that finger not hurt anymore. You think my wife doesn't think about, and she'll get on to me if you talk about it, but you think about her toes. She has broken her toe more than once. But I'm telling you one thing, that she may not think that toe's very important, but when it gets hurting and gets broken and she takes it so tenderly, and she babies it so tenderly. You see, the whole body is rushing to the aid of the smaller one. There is no big me's and little you's. We're all one in the church. God has given, I trust, given me a gift of exhortation and to be able to teach. But that don't mean I'm more important than you. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. I don't need you. I don't need you. You don't need them until you need them. You don't need them until you need them. You know, the old saying is that you never really miss the water until the well runs dry. And this is sometimes God gives us these wake-up calls to let you understand how important each one of us is to the other. We have a dear brother, a precious deacon, that's been removed from our midst. And we'll miss him. But you know, the greatest thing about Mike Winchester, he had a gift of eternal life. And he's with the Lord today in eternal heaven. He don't have any more worries. Now again, the head, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand to the foot, I have no need of you. Nay, but moreover, these members of the body which seem to be more feeble, feeble, there's some feebleness in our midst.
And oh, how we need to appreciate these feeble folk. How we need to hold them up and take care of them. The younger ones need to look around at the feeble, more feeble ones and lend them a hand when they need it. They're necessary. You know, the great blessing of the church is to see the feeble folk, the older ones, the gray heads, folks like our dear sister. Fern. Didn't it tell me you get, I've known her all my life. What's your name now, hon? Sister Fern has been a member of this church. I want to tell you something about this lady. She rode the horses and buggies to church. And that's she couldn't tell you, did she? Got lots of stories to tell you. You need to get those stories now while you can, because she might take them with her when she leaves. But what a sad situation would be when there'd be no older folks. But you know, the saddest thing too is when there's no little ones. We all need one another. Now he says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. Oh, I hope there's nobody here today that would think that you're more important than this brother over here. If you do that, you know, pride is a terrible thing. But he says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these bestoweth more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. That word comeliness means beauty. For our comely parts have no need. You know, there's some parts of us that are private parts, and they should be kept private. But are those private parts part of our body? Oh, yeah. They're important parts. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. You see, we have somebody here that lacks, they need something. You need to be tender enough in your minds. You need to be watching one another. You need to be looking at each other. If there's someone in the body that you sense is having a problem, they are part of the body. And just like that little finger that gets a sticker in it, you need to go and help that. You need to remove it and try to comfort them and give them what they need. We need to understand that we're all one in Christ Jesus. He says, how is it then, brethren? How is it then, brethren? Question. When you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, and every one of you hath a doctrine, and every one of you hath a tongue, and every one of you hath a revelation, and every one of you hath an interpretation. He said, let all things be done unto edifying. Now, I've got just a few minutes, and I want to read just a little bit in Ephesians. There's ministerial gifts that God gives. And these ministerial gifts are in Ephesians chapter 4. He said, for every one of us is given grace according to the measure. Listen, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Grace. Oh. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high and led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts. He gave gifts unto men. And he says, he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Why did he do that? He tells us. These are ministerial gifts that God in his sovereignty gives to the church for the purpose. Now notice he says, why did he do that? for the perfecting of the saints. That means the completing, for the growth, for the edification, for the strengthening of the body. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now notice this, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edify, that means to strengthen, to build up, to encourage. When somebody's discouraged, give them an encouragement. We need to be encouragers and not discouragers. And when we find somebody that's discouraged, we need to help them and be encouraged. And it says, he gave these till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But then he goes on, he says, speaking the truth, and we don't have time this morning to go to 1 Corinthians 13, but I commend it to your reading. Everything that we do must be overshadowed with 1 Corinthians 13. That's the very next chapter. But he says, edifying yourselves together in love. Edifying the body. The body is to take care of its members. We are to look to each other, and we're to give each other encouragement and lift each other up in our times of distress. You know, Brother Mark, this world is not our home. It's not. We think this world is our home, but it's not. God has given it. I mean, we're not like that. I mean, there's people in the world that does not like us. They hate us, as a matter of fact. But we are not of the world. The world hates us, but we're not of the world. We're in the world. But Jesus said when he went away, he says, in the world, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have times of great distress. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We can rejoice in the wonderful grace of God that's given to us. And we have now, and I hope this church recognizes that God has given us some more gifts. We're going to go into the baptismal service because of some gifts that God has given and brought to the church. So this morning, I thank you for your kind attention. There's a ton more that I could speak of, but we'll have to save those for another day. But there is multitudes of gifts given to the church. He didn't give these gifts to the people out there. He gave them to us. And we're to use them and be grateful for them and thank him for them and rejoice in them and use them properly. Be good stewards of that which God has given to you.